All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, she's gays and they's, welcome to another edition of Clocked Out. I'm your host, Joe Malone. It's the show in two parts. First, you work a job you hate, then you come talk to me about it. That way we all have a little fun, even when it feels like you can't. This here is Expert Week on Clocked Out, for which we scoured far and wide for someone who knows everything there is to know about what it means to work in service. After searching for what felt like minutes, I finally realized that the only thing better than finding one expert is finding two. Call it luck, call it serendipity, I call it my next two guests. Will Salzman and Samantha Collings, between the two of them, have more experience than most in the realms of serving, bartending, food prepping, and dishwashing, all of which they obtained under one roof. Same roof you can find above Jam and Java, one of the DC area's finest live music venues, where, coincidentally, I met the two of them for the first time. Now here we are. I'm recording a podcast, and the two of them are still holding down that fort back there at home, all while traveling our nation's capital as part of the pop-punk trio Massey, alongside lead singer Emily Yerumchuk. God, I hope I said that name right. You can catch news about their new music and upcoming shows at Massey Music on Instagram. But before all that, why don't we hear a little bit about what a day in the life is like for a Jam and Java employee? Let's get into it.
The three of us originally met about, a year and a half ago now? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Two years, maybe. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? And I remember we met originally through, well, like I just said, Jam and Java. And I know how I got there, but I was curious about how the two of you first got there. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I had known a few people who worked there, was pretty close with them, and I was just looking for a job at the time. I was working, before I was working at Jam and Java, I was working at an ice rink driving a Zamboni, and it was not really working out super well. So I was looking for a change in jobs, and you know, this was just easy. It worked out. I basically texted Lana, who is now our COO, and was like, hey, I'm looking for a job. And we've known each other for a few years at that point. And she was like, oh my God, yeah, like, let's get you on the kitchen. And that was, the rest is history.
And do you think it was your love of music that drove you to Jam and Java specifically? Or was it just more of...
I think it was definitely that. I've always liked cooking. So I was like, sure, why not? But I mean, I've been going to Jam and Java to see shows and play shows for years and years before I had ever started working there. So I was familiar with the venue and knew of it, knew what it was.
Was there any moment of like serendipity that you noticed when you first started working where you were like, oh, hey, like I remember seeing that guy, you know, at a show that I was at or playing and now he's like my boss, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, quite literally. Trevor, who is the general manager, I had played shows with him when I was in high school, and he was not the general manager at the time that I started working there, but I think he was like working door and I was getting trained on pizza, and he was like, yo, Will. I was like, oh, hey, man, long time no see. So yeah, you end up seeing, I mean, I've been in the local music scene for many years, so you see a lot of people that you have met, whether it's in passing or, you know, friends that you've known for years and years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of the local music scene, let me just say the two of you have been popping off quite a bit.
Oh my God. We're trying. We're doing our best. You know, a local band is a local band. So there's only so much glamour that comes with it, but we're having fun and, you know, working hard. So
absolutely. For all of our listeners, Grady Says Serotonin, their first EP, is now available wherever you get your music.
Oh my God. Joe Malone, you're making me blush.
Always have to help out the homies. Homies helping homies.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Always.
Mm-hmm. So how has that balance been since your release of the EP? Is it, would you say, more difficult, less difficult in terms of navigating your professional lives while also engaging in shows wherever you can?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was definitely the bulk of the work was the process of getting the EP out. And that caused the most difficulty with balancing a work schedule. I think just because so much of our mental space as well as our like actual time was being consumed by like figuring out promotion and recording and booking the actual release show. But I mean, we're really lucky working at a music venue. It like, there's a certain culture there of understanding, especially because most of the bulk of the people we work with are also artists. So like, people were really flexible with us, really willing to step in and help where they could. You can't really ask for a more supportive place to work when you're releasing music than a place that is kind of a vessel for local music. So it was tough trying to find the proper balance, but everyone made it work pretty easily for us. And now we've, you know, released the EP and we're kind of back on our regular schedule. And it's nice. It's kind of nice to step back into normalcy in that way and like know that we can take some time off and really go hard at our music stuff and have a nice warm nest to return to at Jam and Java.
Of course. And a greater nest, I don't think you'll find.
No, certainly not.
But Will, you are the kitchen manager of Jam and Java. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And do you think you could talk a little bit about how that came to be as far as starting, you know, working with pizzas and everything and then eventually graduating to that level in the org chart?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was working there for about maybe a year, and there had been a few people running the kitchen from when I started there to when I took over as the kitchen manager. And I really enjoyed the job and I really wanted to take on more responsibility. So I made it known to my supervisors and my bosses. It was like, hey, this is something that I would absolutely love to do. And, you know, I really put in the work and stepped up, showed them that I was willing to take on that responsibility. And when the time came, and they asked me, you know, I said yes. It was a pretty straightforward process. I mean, the thing about Jam and Java is it's a really small staff. So your pool for like choosing like a kitchen manager is like relatively limited. So I don't want to say that like I just got it because I was like, you know, the only one who like wanted it or whatever. I mean, I definitely put in a lot of work, but it also helps that there's like not a whole lot of competition. But yeah, I mean, it's about being the kitchen manager at a place like Jam and Java is about more than just like managing the kitchen. It's about closing up the venue and delegating all those tasks to different people and doing them yourself too. Like, you know, figuring out the timing of things, like when do we shut down? Because there's no set time when we shut down. We end when the show ends, right? So it's sort of gauging where things are and having the experience of working other shows and trying to draw from that to be like, okay, this is how we should do things tonight. So it's things are very different night to night. And I think that's one of the things I like about it so much is like, it kind of keeps you on your toes. You get to make calls like moment of and be like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, whatever.
Yeah, you got to be flexible.
You got to be very flexible, yes.
I think people also don't realize that like for the kitchen staff at Jam and Java, it's like such an all-encompassing task because you're not only working with food, but you're also doing all of the event staff work. So
yes,
where a traditional restaurant might have a busser, a food runner, things of that sort, it's the kitchen's job to like make sure that food is in order and can be ran properly by the servers. And then at the end of the night, like you were saying, like you have an entire list of shutdown tasks, including right. You know, handling the dance floor and the bathrooms and all of the back of house dishes. So it's kind of an all-encompassing position.
Yes. And there's usually only two people working kitchen at any given time. So it's very, you got to work hard. You got to move quick.
Mm-hmm. And whoever's serving as that short order cook in the cafe for that evening is also going to have that added responsibility of you're doing the dishes, you're
right.
Mopping up at the end of every show, you're cleaning the bathrooms. There's so much more that goes into it because you kind of have to be, like you said, that jack of all trades.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotta wear a lot to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times the delegation ends up being, you know, we have it split into pizza station, as you know, and then the cafe, which handles everything else. So a lot of the times the way it ends up panning out is like the person who's working the pizza station is taking care of pretty much everything that isn't the kitchen. So like mopping up, sweeping, like cleaning the bathrooms. If there's, you know, a different setup for the next day, because we do seated shows with tables and row seating, then we do standing shows with none of that. The pizza person is generally taking care of that while the cafe person is taking care of like all the dishes that are created throughout the night.
And for context, Jam and Java is like a 250 capacity venue. So there are nights where you're doing dishes at the end of the night for 250 people.
Yes.
And it is not a small task.
It is not at all.
I mean, that's 250 people with potentially 7 drinks, an appetizer, a entree and dessert.
Yeah.
And there, the capacity for busing throughout a show is quite small because it's, you're kind of packed in like sardines in a sense. So the server's potential to go and actually clear the tables, not that great. So most of the time it is the entire load of dishes coming in at the very end of the night.
And as somebody who has washed that entirety of dishes at the end of the night, I can definitely attest to the fact that it's not an easy task.
Yeah,
no, it's, certainly not.
It's no chump work, that's for sure. It's a tough one.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oftentimes, the rest of the staff is done and sitting at the bar, decompressing by the end of the night, and the poor cafe person is still in the back. You just hear the ring of the high-powered hose on a pizza tray for like a full clock hour after everybody else has finished.
Yep.
I remember so many memories just walking out of that kitchen, seeing everybody drink in hand, and I'm looking like the ghost of dishes past. Just, I got bleach all over my shirt. My hair's a wreck.
Yeah.
I got cuts all over myself because somebody probably dropped a glass or a dish at some point during the night.
Yep. Absolutely. There's a knife in the sanitizer bin for some reason. You just go in and grab it full fisted.
I'm running around to everybody. I remember specifically when I first started and I didn't know where on any of the bartending equipment went. I think somebody had a strainer that I had never seen before. And I'm running around and I'm just like, where does this go? Somebody please tell me.
Sorry, folks, for the interruption, but just wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor for today, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I myself have had the pleasure of indulging in several of these boxes over the years, and I can say with the utmost certainty that it's not something you want to miss out on. Make hosting this holiday a joy rather than a hassle with the help of HelloFresh Market. From crowd-pleasing charcuterie boards to photo-worthy desserts, it's easy to add these party pleasers to weekly order, saving you so much time. Also, did you know HelloFresh does more than just dinners? From easy breakfast to start your morning off right to 10-minute lunches, satisfying snacks both adults and kids will love. HelloFresh has tasty choices for every mealtime occasion. And the best part? No grocery trip required. Go to HelloFresh.com/clansfree and use the code clansfree, that's CLNSFREE, for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active, that's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/clansfree with the code CLNSFREE. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Let's get back to our guests.
Please help.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, now we get to the fun part of our show. Basically, part of the reason I started the show in the first place is because I knew through working at places like Jam and Java that people have a million and one stories about the crazy, chaotic, hectic, would not believe if you didn't see it with your own eyes type of events that can happen on a nightly basis.
Okay.
So I was wondering if either of you or both of you would like to share any of those experiences that you might have had in working at Jam and Java.
Which one of these are going to get me in trouble is the question.
Well, okay. I have one.
Oh.
That's pretty funny. I think it ties well into the just service industry thing in general. So we were going through a period where we were looking for a new hire, right? We needed a new kitchen person. I don't even know if you know about this, Joe. So we ended up hiring this guy. He was onboarding for a couple of days. I was training him.
Should we give him a fake name?
No. I'm not going to say any names.
No names.
We'll call him John.
Okay.
It's very generic.
Yeah.
So I was training him for cafe, right? We were looking for a cafe person. I, spend the first night with him. He's a little standoffish. He's not really taking direction very well, which is challenging for me because, like, that's my whole job at that point is to teach him how to do the job. And he's just not willing to listen to me at all. We get to the end of the night. Fine. Comes back in the next day. It's the same kind of deal. It was a busier show that night. And I had him doing dishes and trying to get acclimated to, like, you know, okay, this is how it's going to work for me. Because, like, everybody has a different way of doing dishes. Like, you just got to kind of figure it out. So he was doing dishes. Show ends. We're all sitting outside on the porch. And this kid goes out to his truck and he comes back with this little, like, black, it's almost like a men's travel toiletry kit. And he pulls out an apparatus designed for ingesting cannabis, right? It's a pretty large piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And he just starts going at it. He's like, you know, putting the thing and he goes to smoke.
He's using it for its purpose.
Yeah. And our general manager comes out and he just looks at him and he says, "Yo, John, we're chill. We're not that chill." And so he finally, like, puts it away, packs it up, goes home, whatever. And we're like, okay, this guy is, like, probably not going to work out. That's what I'm thinking in my head. I don't think any decisions were made at that point. But the thing that really pushed the needle there is we all came in the next morning. There were four of us there. It was me, Samantha, our general manager, Trevor, and our other coworker, Izzy. And we came in to do a matinee show, and we were looking at, we were, like, trying to set up, I think there were tables, so we were, like, going to put out pitchers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we go and we look at the pitchers and we're like, we're missing some pitchers here. Like, what's going on? So, like, we're looking around for them.
Wait, hold on. Can I interject for a second?
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't even quite that. I'm setting up the bar because I was bartending that shift and planning to serve. And I walk over to my bar and I just see Trevor with, like, the 1,000-yard stare. And I was like, what exactly could it be? Because, you know, when you work in a restaurant, when you work in a venue, there are a lot of things that could make your general manager give that look. So I'm assessing the situation and I'm like, what could it be? Like, is there something wrong with the tickets? Do we have a time wrong? Is there someone outside? And I follow his eye line down to our glass carafes. And I think that my face started to replicate Trevor's face when I realized that we were missing probably about 14 of the 30 that we had. They were gone.
Yep.
So you can.
So we realized the carafes are missing and we're like, okay, that's weird. And then we start looking at all the glassware on the wall, like the pint glasses, the rocks glasses.
Wait, sorry, interjecting again. I'm sorry. We before we do that, we realize the carafes are missing. And our initial thought is like, oh, we had somebody new doing dishes last night. He probably put them somewhere else. So the four of us pre-show in the middle of what would be our standard setup are now scouring the venue looking for said 14 water-sized glass carafes. Nowhere to be found. Absolutely nowhere. We are looking in cabinets that have never been opened. We're looking in the back stock room and there's just no trace of them. Continue.
So I have a realization then that, you know, I saw John last night break one of the carafes. I saw him break one. I took it out to the dumpster personally. You know, I ferried it out there. The other thing I realized is that I took out, you know, we have like a trash can placed next to where we do the dishes so that you can scrape food off into it, whatever, just makes things easier. I took out that trash can that night and I remember it being particularly heavy, like way heavier than it should ever be. And it kind of made like a little clinking sound when I threw it in, which is not abnormal because we throw away beer bottles and things like that. But so I, you know, I start connecting the dots. I went out to the dumpster to see if the bag was still there. They had gotten the dumpster that morning though. But what we ended up deducing from all of this is that John that night had just been breaking so many glasses. He was just breaking them. He was throwing them down. I think we ended up just like figuring out it was like 40 or 50 pieces of glass that had been broken. And I think what he was doing, he was just taking the broken glass, putting it in the bottom of the trash bag, like lifting up other trash and hiding it under other trash. He just broke all our glass. And so he didn't come back after that. I will say, no, he did come back one time. He came in and asked why he was let go and then asked if he could put us down as a reference.
That's bold.
There's a very bold else.
Yeah. I also, to give a little bit of context here, the glass carafes particularly are not particularly fragile pieces of glass.
You're talking about a quarter inch thick.
Yeah, they're about a centimeter thick. I personally have dropped one of those on the ground from like eye level and it bounced. They bounce.
Yeah.
So the idea of somebody with loose enough hands and enough aggression in that dish pit to break not one, not two, but double digit amounts.
Upwards of 50 pieces of glass.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, once we put the carafe thing together, we started to investigate our wall of glasses just to be sure. And just in that shift, I think we pulled down like an additional 10 to 15 pieces of glassware that were just put back on the wall, cracked, just missing pieces.
It was absurd. It was insane.
It was hysterical.
We were all dying of laughter the entire morning because it was like, it was one of those matinee shifts that like nobody wanted to be there for. We were all just like, okay, like whatever, we're here, it's fine. And then to have that happen was just such a like,
it was just absurd.
Yeah, it was insane.
Truly.
My thought is, how far do you think you're going to get with that plan, right?
Yeah.
Because, yep. I mean, like you said, it's a small venue. Therefore, we only have so many glasses that are available to people. So chances are, in the next 20 minutes, even that glass that you put up there that's been cracked is going to get used again.
Yep.
Right.
So when it starts spewing like a garden hose that somebody poked holes in, how do you answer that question?
Yeah. Well,
somebody brings it to you.
Worse off, somebody swallows a small chip of glass.
Yeah, right.
And now we have a lawsuit on our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would think that, like, not saying anything is the solution to your situation there.
Yeah, well, like, the thought process that had to have happened, I can see maybe breaking one and being like, I can get away with this.
Yeah.
I can throw it away.
Everybody's broken a glass. Everybody. Yeah. I've done it.
It happens. It happens. Yes,
it's part of the job. Some people say it's good luck to break a glass.
Exactly. Yes. But to get through the idea of breaking 14 large pieces of glassware and just continuing on, like, I didn't even see him step out for like a breather.
No.
Like,
no.
This man was just like, I am going to keep at this, slippery hands and all. Or violence. I don't know if it was like an
anger thing.
Was
perhaps?
He mad? I get it. Yeah. That dish pit is infuriating.
Sometimes it's very frustrating work.
But the force and the aggravation that goes into breaking nearly 50 units of glassware in one night is one that I hope that he is seeing a therapist about now.
Because there reaches a point where I'm just impressed by that caliber of destruction in that finite amount of time.
Oh yeah,
that is a sight to behold. I'm sure it was at least at the time. And yeah,
it's not someone you would imagine would have that much
the capacity for anger in that way.
How could that all fit inside of?
Yeah, he was very
that man.
You know, all of my well wishes and thoughts and prayers are with our dearest Jono.
Yeah. I hope he's doing well.
He seems like a very nice guy. I think that was the first time that I became truly cognizant that some people really just can't work at a restaurant. Like, it seemed like the kind of thing to me that, like, it's for some people, it's not for others. But I was never really under the impression that, like, there are some people that just genuinely don't have the capacity to do it. I was just like, you can either stomach this or you can't, but it's not about capability until that night. And now I know that there is a threshold where sometimes you just can't do it.
It's definitely not for everybody.
No.
That is to say the very least. Well, guys, I think that's about all the time we have. My thanks again to our guests today, Will Salzman and Samantha Collins. Again, you can hear their new EP, Grady Says Serotonin, wherever you get your music. Guys, before we get out of here, is there anything else you'd like to plug? Anything going on that you'd like to mention before we get out of here?
I don't think so. We just love you and we're so happy to be here.
It's true.
I love you guys right back, and I'm so happy you agreed to do this. Thank you again so much, and that is going to do it for this edition of Clocked Out with Joe Malone. Thanks very much for listening.
All right, there we go. Will Salzman and Samantha Collings. Some of the best we got in this game. Once again, Grady Says Serotonin, now streaming wherever you get your music. My thanks again to my sponsor today, HelloFresh. Thank you all so much for listening. In the meantime, grab your mops, count your change, and get back to work, because the sooner you do, the sooner you can be back here, clocked out. We'll talk to you soon.